What should I do and how should I do it? I got a problem and I gotta get through it. Who should I talk to? Who should I see? What book should I check out of the library? Yeah, but I don't read, so I watch some TV. I see what Hulu has to offer me. I got Netflix and Amazon Prime. I got more options than I got time. I just need a little distraction to keep my mind off my lack of action. I just need a little TV so I can forget completely. Forget completely.
Never gets old. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life's a Binge. I am Jared.
I'm BJ.
I'm Rich.
And we want to thank the listeners out there for listening to our show.
Thanks.
And you can follow us on all social media at Life's a Binge. That's Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and all Twitter. The other places that exist.
So,
MySpace?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. You could be.
I know.
So
because we're talking about Instagram, sure. It's so funny. Like I'm like, oh, I'm finding a clip, and I find a clip, and I put it, and I like put it together, and I'm like, oh, Jared already put a clip clip up and did the thing.
Womp, womp.
So, but I did a different.
I
clip.
Sent it to the group and everything.
I saw that.
Yeah, they're the people that pay attention to the group see things that are in the group.
I see things when I put things.
Stranger Things season 3 trailer.
That was today.
No, that was a couple days ago.
Oh, wasn't it? That was long, long gone. So I don't check it.
Around when I posted the, hey, look what I made.
God damn it. What? I don't think I get everything on my phone. See, that's what it is. I have an Apple phone. That's why.
Special.
That's more accurate. I'd be in the middle of something. I'm trying to post a little picture for the band gig. And, you know, then I get distracted. I'm like, hold on, I gotta say something to the Life's a Binge.
But I don't care. Bring them on.
Yeah.
The more clips, the better.
So I did the other one today.
Yes.
Instead. I thought I did it the other day, but I didn't. So.
I thought you did it the other day too.
I thought I did, but whatever. Anyway.
Yeah, whatever.
Reposted.
Check it out on Instagram. Go to Instagram and go to @lifesabinge.
The gram.
But anyway, and the big one, patreon.com/lifesabinge. You can become a patron. People like Eat It Jess and Jess and
Don't forget
Todd.
Eat It Jess.
And
who has stopped billing
now. And Mikey. And yeah.
Jess gets 2 mentions now, so maybe
she does.
She inadvertently is like getting, yeah, she's getting 2.
So it should just be people like Eat It Jess Jansen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Then we're good. Patreon.com/lifesabinge. If you want to be a subscriber to our show, you can head over there. Become an honorary binger for as little as $1 a month.
$1.
Email at lifesabinge@gmail.com and voicemail number 619-438-0532. And I think that's all the business, right?
That's business.
That's the business.
That's all the business. So now let's start the show by taking a big breath in with us right now.
Life's a binge.
Right? We didn't prompt you on that. Sorry.
What's up?
You were fine.
What's up?
I'm playing with my dongle.
Jared, put that away.
I mean, I do like to do myself. So.
The dongle is on the table.
See, that was a real good one. That sounded like the drop, and I didn't have to drop it at all. What's up, gents?
Man, what's
you're
going to
say so much is up.
Yeah.
nothing. It's been like 3 days, guys.
We recorded on Sunday.
Yeah, it's been 3 days. Yeah. So,
my man Tiger's in town.
Tiger.
What's up, everybody?
What is going down?
You ever see someone that you haven't seen in a while and you're like years or even months or whatever and you go, hey, man, what's up? And you're like,
2 decades worth
of
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, not much. I mean, you already know.
Say, I say,
you know.
Yeah, you know.
Same old.
I just got a friend message on Facebook from a friend of mine from like grade school in South Carolina.
It's so like 1940 something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. 50s. But.
Sounds like a stalking situation, are you?
No, I'd sent him a message a long time ago, and he was one of our buddies. You know, he was in our little crew of buddies that you ran around with, you know, in the neighborhood. And but I saw him on Facebook. I sent him a message, and months, maybe even years went by. And then yesterday, there was a message from him. Hey, I just saw this.
Facebook's been down. I don't know if you heard.
Right.
But, I don't know if you heard.
But yeah, it's like, where do you start? You know, where do you start?
Yeah.
You know, like so.
Dude, I still have messages from, so we'll talk about this later, but when I was on X Factor in 2011.
Nice.
And there was, I still have messages that I haven't seen somewhere in my Facebook messages, because there's like some secret little
panel.
So every once in a while, they'll be like, hey, you have a new message. And I'll be like, where did this come from? It's from some guy from Turkey from 2000. Like,
I didn't know you were in One Direction.
I know. I was boy band before, but boy bands were cool.
Right. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, good times.
I was in One Direction, and now I'm here. So you're welcome.
There you go.
That's a good get.
Yep. Yeah. I know people. I know people.
And so. That's what makes you beautiful.
A real good get.
So nice. The podcast, we had another meeting, and it's still moving forward. The nice. SeaWorld podcast. So so far, so good.
Heck
and,
yeah.
Chugging along.
So, yep, chugging along.
Chugga 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 chugga.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Okay, just making sure.
We'll get to that.
Are we gonna get?
I had some arguments about that.
Okay,
some passionate arguments.
Now I want to know what you're talking about. But.
Don't start. Don't just wait.
BJ doesn't pay attention.
We'll see. I forget things too. So there's a bunch of combinations of things that factor in.
I've been a bachelor this week.
Yeah,
because Lindsay's traveling for business, nice. Which also means that I get to take care of all of the
booty.
Animals,
the animals.
All
of
my booty. Yeah. I get to take care of the booty. I'm just out there slaying it left and right. Sorry, honey.
I'm a bachelor this week, so.
Oh, my God.
We just got engaged, man. Don't.
No, it means I'm like extra plugged in, which is why I'm like posting, hey, here's the trailer for Stranger Things, right. Like, as soon as it came out. I'm just riding that stuff.
Yes.
That shooting heads. I had back-to-back shoots today.
Boom.
Which is cool.
Headshot.
Yeah.
I want to drop. So every time you say you shoot something, boom,
yes.
Headshot.
Make that. Hit that drop.
I can, and I will.
Believe you me. I'll have six different options of it.
Right.
I'm in that sort of sweet zone right now where it's like, you're in demand. Everybody wants your time, and they want to give you money for it. And I'm like, yes, if only this could be like it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, just this should happen all the time. But I'm going to capitalize what's doing right now.
But this is like as good as it's been in ever?
Yeah.
That's cool, nice. Man. So you're kind of moving in?
I'm on pace to make more money this year than I made the year before and the year before and, year and so on and so forth. So. As long as I can keep doing that.
That's nice. Dude, it's so depressing. Like,
oh,
what?
Good for you.
Yes, that's...
things I can't relate to.
In a rainbow with a star.
Yeah, exactly. That's no good for your character. What's good is getting your wages cut year after year after year.
Yeah.
No. And wonder how you can possibly still survive.
But you are.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Somehow we do it.
In this stupid
town. In this economy?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Look at this. We're in your garage, man.
That's right.
Like, we're living large, man.
Yes.
J-Rod's garage.
Yes.
Shoot.
It's a nice
fancy wooden table.
Whoa, okay.
Yes.
I've been watching True Detective, so please be. Yeah,
I haven't paid rent in 3 months. Yeah.
This ride's coming to an end quickly. So
technically, we're squatters.
Someone's got to be.
Oh, man.
What's up with you, J-Rod?
Nothing. I was trying to think what we did over the past 3 days.
Did you revel in your
jab?
In your award for mail carrier of the East County?
Jared!
Best one?
No, I did not. Oh, wow. What I did do, we've been still working on getting the garden up and running and all that stuff, so we're slowly getting stuff. I drew out plans for the workbench that I'm going to build over in that corner.
Ah.
I'm also going to build a thing to hold our ceramic water cooler. Mm-hmm. So nice. I can put the extra jug underneath it. So, yeah. You know, I got stuff in the works. I just haven't done it yet. But now I don't have an excuse because the sunlight is out when I get home.
Yeah.
Right? And that has been my excuse for being lazy.
I don't want to do anything. It's
there's
dark.
Plenty of dark.
But it's true, though. Like, it really is true. Like,
yeah,
people get literally depressed during the winter because the sun's
seasonal
not out.
Affecting.
Yeah. I wouldn't know disorder. About that. Tiger.
Dude, we're from Seattle. We get it.
Yeah.
They're like, sad all the time.
Yeah, most of the time, yeah.
But yeah, that seasonal affective disorder is for real.
Yeah,
it's literally from January 1st to mid-May.
Yeah, I guess because you do kind of ride through the holidays.
You ride through the holidays. Everything's cool.
Yeah. And then
there's
like,
5 months of just.
Ugh.
Actually, I was going to say that's not so bad, but that's the long.
Yeah. It's long almost time. Half a year.
It's long. And it's longer than that, considering like December and often November. November's actually not too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you have the Indian summer for a while. Oops, well, is that a bad thing?
So I came down here on.
Native American summer?
Maybe.
Tuesday. Yeah.
First Nations people summer.
Indigenous people summer.
Indigenous summer.
Yeah, Indigenous summer.
I came down here on Tuesday. I went to Costco the day before up in Seattle, and there was still a 6 foot tall, probably 20 foot wide pile of snow, and it was 75 degrees.
What
we broke
the
record
fuck?
By like 12 degrees. And then we came down here on Tuesday. You're welcome for bringing the rain with us.
Yeah.
And I came down here on Tuesday, and up in Seattle, it got up to 82. And I'm like,
it's your fault.
I literally planned
to get away from that,
right.
I was to go to some warm weather.
I was going through that sort of like mid-winter depression, and I was like, I got to get the hell out of Dodge.
You should have been here yesterday.
I know. I was here yesterday.
I was yesterday. Yeah, that one day. Yeah.
I was sitting with the giraffes when the big storm hit yesterday. Yeah. It was really good.
And then sunshine.
Yeah.
You and your wife are like, we love this place.
Yeah, this is so dope.
Great. And no, that's how I always felt when I was working at SeaWorld, and there'd be like one like Japanese family out in the crowds when it's like 60 and raining.
Right.
And it's like July 12th, and it's like a freaking freak summer rainstorm.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm like, you guys spent 10 grand to get you and your six kids out here and stay in a hotel and come to SeaWorld, and it's raining in San Diego. Like,
that's rough.
Boo.
Bad luck.
It's motivation to get your butt out into the rain, though, because like I knew I only had one more day here, so I was like, no, we're doing it.
Let's do it.
Now, have you ever gone to Arizona for spring training?
I did in 92. You guys are all pups, right? Yeah,
I was 10.
92, 93, something like that. Yeah, I went, and I remember it was actually St. Patrick's Day, because I remember I had to wear like a big stupid leprechaun outfit.
Yeah, to get a new hat.
Sorry, the joke's not as good the second time.
Okay.
I just had to go.
You know
I
what?
Still like it.
The joke was good the first time, but I just didn't get it.
I missed it. What'd you say?
I did a bad Marty McFly. You had to get a new hat.
Oh,
yeah.
Keep your damn hands off her.
that's more.
That's a good one.
That's yeah. Well,
that's
Biff.
George McFly.
It didn't have any blind spot when I drove it.
Sorry.
Just saying.
My Chris McGlover, of course. Did you ever see River's Edge, the movie?
Totally.
So that's my reference.
I never saw
if he didn't, I was gonna go on a whole train about how they emasculated Biff.
Like, yeah, it's not.
He just became like their bitch in the future from that one punch.
I've never seen River's Edge. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, you haven't? No, this is River's Edge. They're
talking about Back to the Future.
Yeah, Back to the Future 3.
All right,
cool. But I always do a better Crispin Glover from River's Edge than I do from. Well, Biff. It's one of those you got to get into a little bit.
Yeah. That sounded great.
Yeah,
he uses
a
lot of face. Like, he uses his
there's
a lot of faces when he's talking.
Moving. I think that's what's
right
up.
Along.
That's what's
there's
up.
News.
This just in.
Do you have like actual news other than the cool trailers that dropped?
Yes.
Excellent.
News.
Yes.
News.
So for those who had any hope that the Marvel Netflix shows might survive in some form, they are selling off the props and costumes at auction.
Yep. Ooh. But
so for those of you who are collectors, yay.
Right.
Those of you who are a fan of the shows, womp womp.
Wait, just because I'm new to your crew.
Do it.
I can say this because I don't know you guys.
Sure.
But I don't feel like I'm as nerdy as you guys. So what shows are you talking about?
So
Daredevil, Iron
Luke
Fist,
Cage.
Luke Cage.
Punisher.
Jessica Jones.
Is the Flash in
that? No, that's CW, DC.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's the one
I work.
You like that show?
That's the only one I watch.
Okay.
That's a good show.
I heard it's good.
It's good. Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't watched it.
A lot of good memes come out of that show too.
Well, it's weird that people had hoped that they were gonna come back as is, just over on the Disney Plus platform. But I'm like, why would they? I mean, I guess I could kind of see it if they just bought it and were like, let's do it. But
do you think they'll reboot?
Kind
them
of already own it, so like they already had permission to do it. I think they're just in all of the sequel seasons. I don't know how you'd say that, but all, I guess in all the final seasons, they all end, or were they all left open ended?
No, they are all left open ended.
Like Punisher season two, I didn't finish Punisher
or Daredevil, but yeah, both Iron Fist and Luke Cage are left open ended.
They're all right, which is dumb. Whatever.
But they have all kinds of right along in that line. The Disney Fox merger is now
officially
complete. Which you should say.
Disney has earned another Infinity Stone.
Yeah. They'll soon crush everyone.
Uh-huh.
I hate them.
But they have a whole.
You do know why.
They have a whole lineup of live action shows coming, like a live action Star Wars. They're talking about doing like a Loki centric TV show too, which I know people will go crazy for because all the women love Tom Hiddleston. They don't sound like that, but he is a handsome guy.
Tom Hiddleston's he's charming. He's a charming guy. He's on screen.
Do you not like him off screen?
No, he bugs me off screen.
Really?
I've never met him. I don't know.
Interviews or something. Nothing about him. Carpet persona or whatever.
No. Okay. When I see, he's a charming guy. Yeah. Just leave it at that.
Super nice.
Leave it at that. Yeah, as far as I can tell.
I was like, what do you know that I don't
know? Because Christian Bale is charming, but then you hear him talk sometimes. And
good for you.
Still charming.
Yeah. Oh, charming.
He can yell at me all he wants. But then again, I've never been in the way of his lights.
It's true.
But the way he talks in like real life, like that, you're like,
that's pretty good.
You know what that sounds like?
Like punching his voice from the back of his throat at your face.
Did anybody see Idris Elba on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
No, I did not.
I thought it was horrible. I thought it was horrible. But yeah, he's totally cocky.
He talks like that. He talks just
right,
like.
What's that about? Yeah. Yeah, coming out of Saturday Night Live. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
His natural voice is like a
weird
Cockney accent.
He's total like South, like Cockney.
Huh.
It's weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
It's weird.
I love when you first hear somebody talk in their real voice after only hearing their not real voice.
He was Stringer Bell. He was like a drug dealer from Baltimore.
Right.
Like, and I had no idea. Then I was like, what? He's English?
It was like Saeed from Lost. The first time I heard him talk, I was like, wait, what?
He's Charles Minor to me. He always will be.
It's like, wait, where'd that voice come from?
Yeah.
It's Use weird. Your real voice. This is my voice. Oh, right. Gotcha. Any other actual news before we talk trailers?
Here's a real fun one.
Ooh.
A new cast member announcement for the Dora the Explorer movie.
Wait. There's a Dora.
There's going to be a Dora the Explorer live action film.
We're scraping right now.
They're at the bottom of the barrel. If you can guess, the name of this actor, I will Venmo you
$50. What's the character they're playing?
He's playing Boots.
Is that the monkey?
Yes, the monkey. If you can guess this actor.
I was going to say something real bad.
This is somebody we've heard of.
It's definitely someone you've heard of.
Is it a male or female?
Male.
Okay.
Mel Gibson.
Give you that much. Ooh, right. good try, but damn.
$50.
I was going to
give Tony some fresh bait right there.
say all the black actors you can think of.
That's exactly right.
Just like what, two, I think?
Morgan Freeman.
You already said Samuel
Denzel.
Jackson.
Is it Denzel? it's got to be Denzel, right?
Well, who hasn't had a job in a while? So Wesley Snipes?
Actually, someone who works all the time.
Oh, let's see. Okay. Playing, and it's a movie?
Seth Rogen.
Let's see. It's a movie actor.
That was my best guess.
Movie actor playing Boots in the Dora movie.
Give me a real guess, Jared, and then I'm going to tell you guys who it is.
James Franco.
Can you give us a is he black or white? Can you tell us that?
Neither.
Neither.
Oscar Isaac.
No.
Dang it.
Danny Trejo.
Ooh, okay. Wow. Weird. That's weird.
I wouldn't have got there.
Nobody. No, who's going to get there?
Nobody. Nobody's gonna get
there. I mean, I wasn't going to start listing off the other Hispanic name I know.
Paul Rodriguez. Is he still
Michael Peña?
Yeah, Michael Peña. I couldn't think of his name.
Luis Guzman.
But does Boots, I've never seen it, does he carry a machete or is that just
That could definitely change the trajectory.
What's the name of the
movie?
Character? The character's name?
Boots.
Boots.
Boots. Boots don't text.
Oh boy. And the title of the movie is Dora and the Lost City of Gold.
Now is it gonna be a kid?
It's gotta be.
Don't
Does
know.
It gotta be? Danny Trejo playing a monkey.
Wait. Is it a live action?
It's live action.
But he's gotta be like it's gotta be a CG monkey that talks.
Yeah, well it's like
there's no way.
Will Smith when he was the genie. I mean it's gotta be something like that, right?
Yeah, probably.
Shudder.
Did you notice?
I was okay.
For those of us who saw the trailer in the theater before Captain Marvel, they cut out the part where you see the genie. Yeah. They played the same trailer, but cut that part out.
I didn't see that. I didn't see all the trailers.
I like the extended trailer genie better than the first trailer genie.
Because it's moving more.
Well, and not only that, I just don't understand why, if you're going to show the genie for the first time, it should have been when he's like, I am all powerful genie, who looks all badass. Yeah. And he's like, what? Nah, I'm just playing. Like, that's what we should have been introduced to. Like the weird, like, dad bod genie talk. Yeah.
Wobbling towards the camera.
Right. Don't show that first.
Coming to get your children.
Doing Disney Fox. Like.
I think it's gonna be me. I think Will Smith is gonna be awesome at it. Totally in the minority, but I think he's
It'll probably be good.
I think so too. That first look at him has been so anticipated, and then they showed us that first look, which was not pretty.
That looked like they did it on like a late night show, yes! like for a comedy bit.
That's exactly what it looked like.
Because I think he'll definitely do something different and definitely something.
Do you feel that
Will?
Blue-faced or blue people are going to take offense that he's playing a blue-faced person
without actually being blue.
Yeah. Right.
Probably.
Because there's plenty of blue faces that you could have got.
Right.
So
where's Tobias Fünke and
all
this?
That's true.
Right.
I forgot what I was going to say. So there's that.
But speaking of Tobias Fünke, we'll get to it later.
Wait, who's playing Dora?
Did you watch more?
Who's playing Dora?
I
do not know. I can find out though. Or
if it's Jennifer Lopez, it's gonna be that'll be hilarious.
Supposed to be like an 8-year old kid.
There's actually a spoof for like Funny or Die did like a dark and gritty live action Dora the Explorer with I forget her name. Oh, I don't. Ariel Winter from Modern Family.
Oh, nice.
As Dora. But it's her like murdering people and like blowing shit. It's so good.
That's cool.
Crazy funny.
I love it.
Who is it, Mikey?
What's it? Isabella
Moner? Looks like
Monair.
Boner,
Monair.
But with an M.
Say it
it's
right,
Mona.
Crunchy.
Say it.
It's Monair.
From Sicario 2 and Transformers, I don't know, what is that, 7? The Last Night, whichever one that was.
The Last Night?
Yeah.
The Last Night?
Yeah.
Is that the second Mark Wahlberg one?
No. Or is that Martin Lawrence? Did Martin Lawrence have a thing?
No.
Transform? What are you talking about?
The last one before Bumblebee, yeah.
So the last Mark Wahlberg one.
Oh, okay. Right? Is he in that? I don't know if he's in that.
He was in the...
Well, Bumblebee was like the precursor,
I've definitely
right?
seen it.
There was three with Shia LaBeouf and two with Mark Wahlberg, right? Five?
Yeah.
No,
you're asking the wrong guy.
I think there's three with Mark Wahlberg. No, there's three with Mark Wahlberg.
I think there's three.
But I don't think he's in The Last Night. Maybe there's just two and then some without him.
Who knows?
Who knows?
But slash they connect, cares.
They connect the Transformers to King Arthur and Merlin.
No, really?
Transformers The Last Night.
Boo.
Yes, they do.
That means so you've seen this movie.
God. I have. Yeah, nice. I saw it on the airplane. It's terrible.
I love it.
Anthony Hopkins is in it.
Ooh. That's impressive.
You know, that's so funny that they do that because it used to blow me away when I found out that, like, I was like, royalty? What is the thing about royalty, you know, in Europe? And like the stories are is that they are descendant from Jesus. Like the royal family, right?
What?
Right?
Well, no, that was right.
Like
that
Queen
was
Elizabeth
movie.
Is related to Jesus? Is that what you're trying to tell me,
there's
BJ?
There's something about like royal blood that allows that's supposed to be there that
I don't know.
There's something,
about
something divine, like
dispute.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it was a dream. Maybe.
Yeah, that's.
Maybe.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
That was a three whiskey night for you.
That's my best idea. Is
like
coming three whiskeys.
Because the whole thing is Jesus didn't have no kids, so how could they have baby
or
Jesus blood?
Or did he?
But that's the thing. That's the whole thing. Yeah. Anyway,
but it's some kind of divine. There's some kind of divinity in their bloodline. Like is the idea. Like,
I thought it was that they were
because I was always
it was
like
a divine mandate that says these people shall be kings and queens forever. Not necessarily that they had it. Like
that's because they had Jesus
blood. Divine blood.
Well, let me talk to you about that one, yeah?
Yes!
All right, here's anyways.
Thank you very much. An expert.
You know who
knows walked in.
Who's good about that? Andrea's really good about that, so I should just ask her.
Have her call the voicemail, 619-438-0532.
Tell us about royalty.
Tell us about the royal Jesus blood.
Why are the royalties royal?
Any other actual news headlines?
Just trailers, and one that BJ will be very excited for.
Excellent.
The trailer for Deadwood the movie.
Yes. Oh, good.
Yes.
Did you watch Deadwood at all, Tiger? No?
What's that?
Did you watch Deadwood at all?
HBO? Well, I'm 50 now, so I have to see Deadwood all the time.
Hey! Hello!
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'll be here till Saturday.
Yes. Life's not fair.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a Western show on HBO that was real popular in the early
2000s. Cocksucker a lot.
Remember a lot of cocksuckers.
Right before we started recording, and he's like, don't talk to me about shows because I haven't seen anything. And then you just threw him under the bus while we were recording. Live
no,
live.
Totally. I mean,
I'm just kidding.
I should have.
No, he said movies and stuff. But like
you're crazy. I'm just kidding.
At first, I didn't realize you're talking about Tiger. I was like, what?
Oh, right.
So,
Mikey anyway. P's gonna educate the masses right here.
Oh, well, Divine Right of Kings basically is just they were subject to no earthly authority, deriving his right to rule directly from the will of God.
Yeah, so maybe it's not directly from Jesus, but apparently their authority is supposed to be come from God.
Yeah,
well, sure they were around before that.
I mean, the kings and kings derived their power from the church,
right.
From the popes, from the cardinals, and all that stuff.
Who
so,
spoke to God?
See? Yeah, and
see, that's all
the
good
ones.
Stuff right there.
Yeah,
but I just learned that
line.
On the last Nightfall. Do you watch that show?
Nope.
Oh damn!
I learned that from the three.
But tell me about it
because
we're always down for a new show.
Yeah,
it's not great, but it's entertaining. For like an hour.
That's
night,
fine.
You know?
The, what is it called?
Nightfall.
Nightfall.
It's all about the
K-N-I-G.
Yeah, it's all about the Templar Knights and how they
murdered the shit out of everyone.
How they found the
yeah, lots of killing.
What's the cup?
The Holy Grail.
Holy Grail.
The cup.
They found the Holy Grail, and Sean Connery was there for some reason. No, but they found the Holy Grail, and then they found out that the Pope was using it for the wrong purposes, and then they try to steal the bag. It's a pretty cool show.
Nice.
That's cool. That's very, you know, after like Da Vinci Code and Assassin's Creed, mm-hmm. where you kind of learn about Templars and all that stuff. It's fun. It's interesting stuff.
Religious myth. Sorry, guys, for those religious people out there. Like, religious mythology is like some of my favorite movie subjects.
Yeah,
like
it's good stuff.
Constantine. Like Love when it. HBO did like the animated Spawn, and they had like all the like religious myth in there. I was like, oh, this is so cool.
Yeah.
So are
these
you
stories are
a
so
Dan
cool.
Brown fan?
Have I wouldn't say I'm a fan.
Have you read the books?
No.
Dude.
Are they good?
Yeah, especially if that's your jam. Like, you gotta read the books,
yeah.
dude.
Yeah,
I read them.
I don't, and you know, I don't read. It's in the,
I
it's
don't
in,
read.
It's in the song. Okay.
What's the first one? The
Da Vinci Code?
Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
So
I read that.
The one with Nick Cage came out right before it. Like
National Treasure. Yeah.
And I loved it. And then
it is fun because
I will fight anybody who says National Treasure is not a great, fun movie. I love that movie.
2 weeks later, Da Vinci Code came out, and I was just like,
meh.
It's not Benjamin Franklin's glasses.
Yeah. No.
This is National Treasure without
National
the treasure.
National Treasure moves along a lot better than it. It just doesn't. But the book is fantastic.
And it's got Sean Bean.
The Lost Symbol, I want to say, is the third Dan Brown book.
I haven't read that one.
Third or fourth Dan Brown book.
Good stuff.
The Lost Symbol is all about like American history stuff. Like it takes place in it. Because the first one takes place in Italy. The second one takes place in...
not Italy.
Wherever. Where's the Da Vinci Code?
Wait, I'm from France.
France.
Yeah,
Paris.
France. Yeah, yeah. France.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the third one's in the U.S. And
that's Dan Brown? Oh, man.
Cool.
Anywho,
so I get to look at Mikey P's screen tonight.
Stranger Things trailer came out for season 3, which I'm super jacked about.
Hype.
And then the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood trailer came out.
Which I did not watch.
I'm excited. It looks good.
Yeah. I watched the trailer.
Yeah. It looks like it's going to be good.
Right. It'll be fun. It'll be good. It'll be good.
The ninth Quentin Tarantino movie.
That's what it says on the top of the trailer.
For those of us that are listening today that don't have any idea what you're talking about, tell me about that. What is it?
Now,
describe.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is the ninth Quentin Tarantino movie that's going to come out.
And it's a boot.
It's about Hollywood in the 1960s. Leonardo DiCaprio plays a famous actor. Brad Pitt plays his stunt double. And their shenanigans that take place around that, all whilst tiptoeing around the Charles Manson story and the Manson women.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's period piece.
Yeah.
Cool. Based on a true story? And besides Charles Manson,
I
mean.
I don't think so.
Borrowing
it's just,
from
yeah, it's just kind of like Inglourious Basterds.
People.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the movie, it's Charles Manson.
Charles Manson. Right? Charles Manson.
Yeah. Charles Manson.
Don't say that. Though. We'll get sued. It's Charles Manson.
You
want
to get sued? You mean Mary Poppins? No. Any other news or trailers or anything?
Nope.
No?
No.
Okay, moving right along.
And that's the way it was.
Hey.
You know what's good?
See what I did?
What you forgot, though, is the date.
So. No. I can't say that I did forget
that. News drop.
So you did that yourself?
Yeah, just right before everyone got here.
That's. You know what you need?
It's not that
I'm
good.
I'm not gonna. critique it.
No, what?
But he's got a little bit more in the back of his room.
Oh, I wasn't trying to do an impression.
Oh, okay.
Sure you want to do like the more you know with that little dinking?
Yeah. What? Who said
we can
what?
Do all that stuff.
Thanks, Jared, for making us.
That was a great drop.
Drop.
What I did, what I liked, was the drop that you just made. That's what I liked.
Drop.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway,
life's a binge. Phone army. Life's a binge.
Good day, gentlemen. It's Biz. Hope you guys have had a good week. Mine has been fantastic. I'm feeling very rested today. In fact, I found a great way to catch up on some sleep. And that was actually during last week's episode while Tony was doing his segment. Man, I haven't slept that hard in a while. So, Tony, I appreciate it, man. Keep the good work coming.
It's fun.
Anyway, I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about something that you had mentioned during the news segment last week. And that is this whole parents getting their kids into schools and stuff, paying a lot of money and things like that. I'm kind of on Jared's side where I wasn't really surprised that it happens. But I do kind of think it's kind of shitty when people pay for something that you haven't really earned. I mean, there's a lot of hardworking kids out there who probably could have done more with those spots. Instead, you have Aunt Becky from Full House shelling out all this money just so she has the status of doing something when you're not actually doing anything. It's a real shame. And I was trying to think of something that we could compare it to, us, you know, kind of peon peasant people. And that's the only thing that I can think of is if somebody were to pay an extraordinary amount of money, say like, I don't know, $10.05, throwing that number out there, just to say that they're a, like, I don't know, like a producer. Like, what exactly are you producing? Do you deserve that title just because you paid for it? I don't know. Something to ponder, I guess. Talk about it next week, I'm sure. Anyway, have a great week, guys. Miss you. I'll have to get back in the studio soon. Talk to you later.
Oh,
bye.
My goodness. This is now bumped up to $10.10.
Oh, man.
Well,
you just got the business, Tony.
Life's a biz.
Well played.
Oh, that was good times. Oh, man. But now let's wink, wink, listen to what Matty Warburton has to say about the movie Roma.
Oh, shit.
And now, another installment of What Do I Know with Matt Warburton.
Hi everyone, I'm Matt, and this is What Do I Know? Well, the Oscars are very much over now, but today I'll be talking about the movie that really impressed me the most of all the movies nominated for Best Picture, a little Netflix film called Roma. Roma is the story of Cleo, a live-in maid in Mexico, her relationship with the family that she works for, and the dealing of a pregnancy from a guy who likes to do naked karate. Seriously, there is a scene with so much peen flipping and flopping around, it made me go, oh yeah, I should probably get around to finishing Westworld. Roma was written and directed by Alfonso Cuarón, who's, I think I pronounced that right, I don't know, who also wrote and directed Y Tu Mama Tambien, Gravity, Children of Men, just to name a few. And he also directed Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Apparently, Roma was based off of his life, and Cleo is based off of his actual live-in maid. Cleo is played by Yalitza Aparicio. I think this episode is going to be full of me just butchering names, so hang on. Yalitza Aparicio. So, funny thing about her is that this is her first acting gig. She is a preschool teacher who walked into the audition to support a friend or sister and ended up grabbing the role. Never acted before, then nominated for an Oscar. I can remember my first big role. It was Uncle Smellicue in the play Dark of the Moon in high school. I did an impression of Cletus from The Simpsons. I did not win an Oscar or a Tony's. I know I shouldn't be jealous, but I always kind of get jealous. Like Johnny Depp's whole thing where he was wanting to be a musician, but he had to make money, so he did acting gigs. Or Michael Crichton, who paid his way through medical school by writing. Like, how does the arts become a safety net to the medical profession? Anyway, I'm sure she deserved it, and I'm sure everyone was amazing in this movie. Honestly, I couldn't really gauge the acting too well because the movie's in Spanish, so I couldn't really tell if people were connecting with their words or not. But tonally, they were selling it, and it didn't seem too over the top. Everything seemed to be pretty grounded. But watching it, I was reading the subtitles and thinking, wow, they could totally be phoning this in, and I probably wouldn't even know. What I really loved about this movie was Cuarón's visuals. He uses cinematography in such a way that tells stories through pictures and camera movement and very simple common things. Like, I knew this movie was going to be good during the credits sequence. It was a floor with soapy water washing over it. It was calming and telegraphed the environment surrounding the story as well as the theme, and was something simple that seemed familiar. It was really, really clever, and I loved it. There was also a scene where the camera is panning through the city, tracking certain people. It's all one shot, and it looks like the busyness is so tightly choreographed. It's really neat. Cuarón does such a great job, including visuals, including the method of how you're watching the movie as a way to tell the story, as opposed to just filming people acting. In my opinion, no other film that was nominated really did that. Especially Green Book. I mean, other films had aspects of that in it, but no one used the film the way Cuarón did in Roma. There's also a lot of metaphor in this movie, a lot to discuss and pick apart, which I think makes a really great movie. You can watch it more, find new things, or discover a new way to interpret something. Either way, Alfonso Cuarón has found a way to take a significant piece of his life and turn it into cinematic gold. But that's just my opinion. I'd say fire up that Netflix and check it out for yourself because, hey, what do I know? Next time, I'll be reviewing an album you probably can't get anywhere because I'm listening to The Black Market Hearts. Until next time, I've been Matt, and this has been What Do I Know?
Thank you, Matt, for another great installment of What Do I Know?
So has anybody actually seen Roma?
Nope.
Nope. Yet.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I watched like the first 45 minutes of it.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, if I can be entertained for 2 hours, like it doesn't matter what, like I'm good with it. Like I don't have, it doesn't have to be amazing. It doesn't have to be horrible. Just as long as I can tolerate it. And I watched about the first 45 minutes and I kept dozing in and out. And my wife was like, just let's go to bed. And then she watched it the next day and she goes, don't even bother. Like she was like, and you know, we're, like I said, we are very easily entertained when it comes to those. So we don't like the first 45 minutes. I was like, I don't know. You just kept,
did it have anything to do
waiting for something to happen?
Nice.
Mm. And, like, I can't even think of anything to equate it to.
Waiting for Godot.
It was basically watching, like, let's say that you were in the kitchen watching somebody watch TV. That's sort of what the whole thing felt like.
Huh.
So.
Well, I've heard the director talk about it. And he'd say, like, instead of normally you pay attention to the mother or the father or someone of these characters, and you don't pay attention to the help.
Right.
And that they focus on the help on here. And it's a different type of story than you're used to. But
did any of the black and white or subtitles or anything that have anything to do with your enjoyment of it at all, or no? Do you think it had anything to do with it? Or?
Well, I grew up in White Center, Washington, so I can read good.
And, White Center, whoop.
Anyway, no, so that didn't really bother me. It just
it was just boring.
Mundane. It was monotonous, and I mean, maybe it's because we've all been sort of programmed to expect like the next what's going to happen next sort of thing.
Right.
But I can sit and watch a normal, like really mellow movie too. But this just, it drove me nuts.
Nice. Huh.
So.
Cool. I'm maybe interested to know what Matt has to say. Matt says the same thing. I hated it.
Yeah.
If you don't know, now you know. We don't have the movie review from Matt yet.
We haven't heard it yet.
Right. I will be listening to it when you're listening to it.
Just copy and paste
what
I said.
It'll be new to all of us.
Just put it back in there.
Yeah.
He gives it a big meh.
Meh.
Yeah,
it's a big meh.
Cool.
Now, who's the director again? Alfonso Cuarón.
Correct.
Cuarón.
And I loved...
He did the fish movie, right?
Gravity.
No.
No, that was...
You got it. You can do it.
Oh,
You can do it. It's your favorite movie of all time.
I do. It's yeah, I watched
it the
just
best movie
weeks.
You've ever seen?
It's better than Pulp Fiction.
Better than Pulp Fiction, apparently.
This movie, oh my God. We got to start talking about this movie.
We will. We'll take a break and we'll come right back. Yeah. But can you remember the name
of the director? Yeah,
Del Toro.
Who say it again? Del Toro.
Guillermo
Del Toro.
I BJ to sit there.
I would have gotten
it. I to watch BJ twist in the wind.
I would have gotten it eventually. But Alfonso Cuarón did the Children of Men and
Gravity, Birdman.
Yep, yes. Yes. These movies that the camera work is so ridiculous on, and like it's fun to watch. Especially the long one takes, single take, one single camera, one take.
I'm a fan of the one takes.
Yeah.
Well, I also don't I can't. Like, because I was trying to be an actor and a singer, you know, and growing up and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if I try and if I watch movies or plays or musicals from a critical point of view, I will never enjoy them.
Right.
So I just
I have to turn it off.
Yeah,
completely.
I have to turn it off completely and just be able to watch it. And most of the time, that's super easy for me because as long as I have so much going on that if I could just sit in the chair for 2 hours,
yeah,
and you're happy
and not think about shit,
right?
I'm happy.
Yeah.
But that one I couldn't do.
Huh.
Cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'll watch it at some point.
Wrong. Anyway.
You're right.
don't be like me.
Yeah,
don't
gonna,
lie to the
people. I'm going to watch The Wire. I'm going to watch
Whoa,
Sopranos.
That's Dora? Hang on.
And we were all sitting there. We were sitting there like, why was it called Roma?
Fine. She's fine.
There's no mention of Roma. Like, I was like, Italy? No, it's not. It's in South America. It's not where some Spanish town. But it's because when he was a kid, he grew up in a town called Roma. And it reminded him of when he was a kid and he was
Did they
trained.
Explain that in the movie?
No.
Oh, for pizza.
The whole movie, you're like, why is this called Roma?
Oh,
they,
for pizza.
Are they going to put tomatoes out there? What's going on?
Particularly good for tomato sauce.
Good times.
Ooh, I'm going to get sauce.
But with that, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. After these messages,
we'll be right back. Hopefully I can sing for you now and you'll just... be in awe, and you won't. I won't even make this decision hard for you. That's what I'm looking for.
Good. Well, let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
If I fall short, if I don't make the grade, if your expectations in me are met today. There's always tomorrow, or tomorrow night. Hang with me, baby. Sooner or later, I'll make it right. Just don't give up on me. Oh, don't give up on me. I know it's too late.
Times. We're back, and now we're just gonna do the standard BSing about BS.
Yeah.
Right.
BS. Yeah, man. So let me get us rolling.
Yeah.
Rolling.
So I moved to Seattle in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And when I moved there, I was super excited because we had baseball. The Mariners were in town, and so that was like super excited to live in a city where they had professional baseball. And when I moved there, they had a little advertisement. I don't know if it was like new ownership at the time or not, but they're like, "We're getting a mascot for the Mariner team, and what should it be?" They did a little contest.
Fisherman.
All kind of what should it be? Yeah, all these things.
A fisherman.
And they came up with a moose.
Right? Should be
right.
Oh, because that makes sense.
I don't know why, but it makes sense. I mean, Northwest.
In the
more than the Northwest. Yeah,
I know why.
Pacific Northwest. You know why? Well, cool.
Get into that.
So, so I was like, I was so excited. I wrote, I like applied. I wrote a thing, and I still have the letter somewhere saying, "Sorry," from the Seattle Mariner letterhead.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, you didn't. You didn't.
Sorry, you suck.
We got a lot of people interested in the
hold
thing.
On to this rejection for the rest of your life.
But yeah, and then with the thing that's like, yeah, but we'll hold on to your thing, which you know is bullshit.
Of course.
But,
yeah.
But anyway, so for years we would go to the game, and everybody, all my little circle of friends, they all knew that I wanted to be the moose, and we would go to the games, and they would all like, "Man, look at the moose, man.
That moose sucks.
Dude, look at that moose, man. Dude, you're so much better than that moose."
He doesn't even know how to be a moose.
Like, fuck that
they
guy.
Never once said that you were better than the moose.
That's how friends do. That's how friends do.
Yeah. Way to call him. Way to throw him under the bus there, Tiger.
So,
right under.
Never said it.
So years later, a few years later, I start working on the Spirit of Puget Sound, which I've talked about before, the dinner cruise boat in Seattle that I worked at for about 7 years. And we start playing softball there, and lo and behold, I find out that one of the friends of the folks on the boat there is the moose, or maybe no, I think is the moose at the time. I think at the time it was the moose, and I was like, "This dude, like, this is the moose.
This guy sucks. My friends all say I'm better than this guy."
We never thought that the moose sucked. But it was just always just kind of a little supportive thing for like, "Man, you're better than that.
Uh-huh.
You're better than him." But it was cool to like, it's like to meet him and like and
to meet the moose.
To meet the moose. To meet the guy who
was
a moose. And
that,
that guy
was
Tiger.
He was such a douche.
Well, yeah, he had all that moose fame going to his head.
Yeah. So that's one of the Tiger's claim to fame. One of them. It was that he was the moose, man, and that was so cool.
It was.
You know how many people were like just so jealous of you at that time?
I didn't. I didn't take a head count.
What were
Let me tell you.
What were the years around when you were the moose?
So the noose. It was kind of a noose. The moose. His first year was 1990, and then it's been ever since. But so I took. There was two of us. It was hundreds of people.
Mm-hmm.
They had like 113 people that I actually contacted. You were one of those others.
I wasn't even the top 113.
And
one of the leftovers.
Anyway, and then they called 12 or 13 of us back, I think, and we had to do an open audition in front of an audience at the Seattle Center House.
Mm-hmm.
Are you wearing the moose costume?
No.
So you're just yourself.
No.
And a fake mascot costume or
nothing.
Something? That's awkward.
You're just wearing like your regular clothes, and you couldn't say anything because
right.
mascots
yes.
don't talk. You couldn't like make noises or anything.
What the fuck
so,
are you supposed to do?
Yeah, so
just
well,
jump
what,
around and
what
get
I
hype
did,
and stuff.
I've always been. I was. It was 100 pounds ago, so I was always a really good dancer, and that became one of my things as the moose. But I was always a good dancer, and so I was dancing, and I was trying to get people to do the wave and stuff, and it was not working. And then I got down on like my knees and I started pouting, and this little 4-year-old girl came up and hugged me. And they were like, "Oh, if he can get a little girl to come up and hug him, well, first of all, dangerous. But second of all, he's got to be good." So it came down to me and this other dude named Dean Gravey.
That guy sucks.
Fuck that guy.
Hate that guy.
Well,
actually, he's your best friend. No, he's cool. He's good.
Very nice person.
I didn't even know him actually. And he used to be Butch the Cougar for the Wazoo Cougar.
Oh, okay.
And then he worked for one of the local TV stations. And so it came down to me and him, and so we would flip flop back and forth during the homestands. And then I was actually doing a show. I wrote a show, co-wrote a show that I was performing in, and when that ended in June, the Mariners came and said, "Hey, we want you to be the full-time guy. We don't want this guy around."
Full moose.
Full moose.
Nice.
So Then I started doing it. So basically end of June until...
And that was 1990?
90, yeah. Nice.
So then can you answer the question of why the Seattle Mariners had a moose?
I can.
As the mascot?
Alliteration. So that's my guess.
So what happened?
The Mariner moose.
Yeah, that's my guess.
So what happened was is Jeff Simoleon was the new owner.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a big winter like baseball meeting up in Anchorage. And this is
all right.
This is right when he took over.
Yeah.
And they were sitting in this restaurant and they saw these moose, like just walking across in front of the thing. He goes, "We need to have a mascot. It needs to be a moose."
That's it.
He just saw a moose, and
he's like, "Let's get one of those."
So what he did was, or what they did, they marketed it toward all the elementary schools around Seattle. And so they had tens of thousands of suggestions, but he already knew that he wanted a moose, so he just needed to pick one of them.
That's kind of bullshit.
He just needed to pick one of them. Pick that one he that knew was a moose. The moose.
Right.
That's so funny.
Yeah, and then they made the costumes and it became the moose.
But, that's the kind of wealthy I would like to be, where people just have to go along with my ridiculous ideas. It's like, oh, that's
we're
going to
go with the moose.
That.
So, yeah, the moose.
Dude, let me tell you, when I was 21, and it was my first year with the Mariners, and Jeff Simoleon. He came up to me one day at the Christmas party.
Uh-huh.
Get off my Coke, bro.
Sorry, buddy.
I got more.
We got lots.
Anyway, we were having the Christmas party, and he came up to me, and he handed me an envelope. And he goes, "Hey, we just really appreciate everything you've done."
Oh.
Right? And I was like, cool. I didn't, you know, I was a kid. So I walked into the bathroom.
Outback Steakhouse.
And I opened it.
Right.
I opened it up, and it was for $7,900.
Damn.
Whoa.
And I was like, so I walked out. I really casually walked over to the payphone. It's like, "Hey, Mom, I just wanted to let you know I just got a almost $8,000
bonus
for Christmas." And so it was super cool. But he was
that's I found baller.
I found out later what he did was he deposited a whole bunch of money into an account,
uh-huh.
And by the time
embezzled
the, year
the
around,
shit out of it.
By the time the year ran around, he just pulled all the interest and he split it.
That's cool.
Or something like that.
That's so cool.
Huh. Yeah, it was really cool. He was a nice guy.
Nice.
I don't think he was much of a businessman, but
did he want to move it to St. Petersburg or no?
I don't know the answer to that.
To St. Petersburg?
Or not St. Petersburg, but
Florida.
They have a team now? The Rays.
I was thinking like Tampa.
Because remember they were talking like the Mariners are going to move to Tampa. Back in the day, that was like the thing.
Yeah.
Before the Devil Rays started.
Devil Rays, yeah.
How long were you the Mariner Moose?
So I did 4 years. So I got fired on December 31st of 1993.
Happy
not that
New
that
year.
Date sticks in my mind or anything.
Right. 4 years in the 90s, so you're there for, like, Griffey.
Yeah.
The good old days.
I didn't show the pictures.
No, I have a whole bunch. So Griffey and
Instagram,
we were the same age. So I was 6 or 8 months older than he was. And so before we got too huge, we used to go to, like, to the Oz, which was like a club.
It was like a roller skater club.
Yeah, it was after that. It was after the roller skater.
Because I remember like
security prison.
Scoochie's was the underage club.
Yeah, and then Oz was an underage club. And so,
but on the weekends, because I remember going to see like Rage Against the Machine at Oz and Smashing Pumpkins at Oz. Because I don't know if that was like before or after. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, so we went there a couple times, you know, went to lunch and stuff. We used to hang out a little bit, but it was very quick. After that he couldn't be out in public. And so
why?
I know, weird, right?
You know, it's funny.
Why?
During that time, I remember because
I don't know why.
Because he was real good.
He's just a superstar.
He was good.
He was charismatic.
Kind of a big deal.
He brought fun
he
back
was
to the game.
So
I had that video
good.
Game.
Ken Griffey video game?
Hell yes, I did.
Well, you are famous when you have a video game.
Dude, my first,
at least, that was the litmus test.
My first, like, outfielder glove was a Ken Griffey Jr., like, silver signed glove, yeah.
Dude, I tell people about that. It's like, when you're, like, at a time when you can live in a town or somebody plays a sport that is excelling at a level, when you have an opportunity to see them play all the time, it's just like you just feel blessed. You're like, I can't believe I get to watch this all the time. And as the Moose, I just can't even imagine that you get to see it from the top of the dugout. And
well, but I mean, you have to remember, like,
you're working.
Like, I thought I was going to be a professional baseball player.
Me too.
When I was a kid,
me
right?
too.
We all did, right?
Yeah.
And so when I got the job as the Moose, I was like, cool, next best thing, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. And so
one step closer.
So, well, when did you stop playing baseball? Did you stop like in high school?
I stopped when I was 18.
So and the then, end of high school, yeah.
Yeah, the end of high school. And then, actually, it's funny, my second year, Bill Plummer was our, you guys won't know who this is, but Bill Plummer was our.
Pitcher?
No.
Wasn't he a pitcher?
Bill Plummer.
He was a plumber.
Was he? Yeah.
I said, can I finish?
A maintenance man, obviously.
Bill Plummer was our team manager for like 91 or 92, I don't remember which year. I think it was 91. And so I used to go out on the field in a uniform before games, not as the Moose, because Edgar Martinez didn't like taking all the balls at third base.
No,
so
he didn't.
So I'd go, sorry. Nice. So I'd go out and I'd take balls at third base and throw them across, and nobody knew who the hell I was.
Right.
You know, I was just some guy out there, one of the players. And so Bill Plummer one day goes, "Hey, you're pretty good at this. Have you ever thought about like trying out?" And I'm like, "Oh, those days were long behind me." And he goes, "Well, we're doing like open tryouts." And I was like, "Well, when?" And he's like, "At the local community college." And I was like, "Okay, I'll go out there." And so I go out there and I'm out in the field and I'm just ripping the ball. I'm throwing it across. I'm throwing from deep short. I'm like, man, I still got this.
Yeah.
But I hadn't hit a hard
ball.
And
then you had to hit. Right.
No.
You mean the hardest thing in sports? And then you had to hit.
So I was like, all right, cool. And I was standing up there, and you can't see this, all you lovely listeners, but I was standing up there and I'm waiting for him to pitch it. And I hear this pop. And I went,
uh-oh.
What the hell? Like, I didn't see the ball. Yeah. It hit the glove. Wow. And I literally just set the bat on.
Thanks.
On home plate. And I go, oh, thank you very much. Yeah. And I was like, and good night. Thank you.
Is there such fantastic. Thing as a pitch thrower in this? And I don't mean a pitcher. I mean like a pitch thrower.
Throw the ball.
I can run in and throw it real fast from third to first.
Yeah, it was brutal. But so that was officially the end of my baseball.
And were you doing theater and stuff in high school?
I was mainly doing like choir in high school. Yeah. So
there's been some sort of performy thing going on.
Yeah, I've been
in your life at this point.
I've always been a singer, and then when I was probably 12 or 13, I realized that I played baseball, but then I found out that girls liked the fact that I could sing,
mm-hmm.
and then they really liked the fact that I was funny.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And so
preaching to the choir. Yeah.
And so I ended up, I was sort of in and out of like football and baseball and stuff like that. And I was horrible at basketball, but it really just became mainly performing for the chicks.
Yeah.
Like if I could make them laugh, if I could make them go, oh, that was such a good song or anything like that.
I think
that's really what it came down to.
For a lot of like young hetero teenage dudes, that's because, you know, you're in high school and there's a lot of like testosterone and all the jocks like, oh, what are you doing theater? And like, wait. But I'm surrounded by girls.
Lots of girls.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
what I do. Yeah. Well, you're surrounded by dudes. Well,
in fact, so all the way up until my junior year, I mean, I played baseball probably 15 years total.
Yeah.
And I played football probably 10 years total.
Mm-hmm.
I never really understood football until I was out of it for 5 years to be able to sit and watch it.
Yeah.
But my junior year, I was playing football, and I remember like just being in the locker room going, this is not fun. Like,
right.
this is stupid.
It's a man soon in here.
So, yeah. I decided to be the first male cheerleader ever at my high school.
Nice.
One of the best decisions.
There you go.
I had so much fun being part of the cheer squad in high school.
You did that, dude?
I wasn't a cheerleader. Me and my buddies, we formed this group called the Brave Five because our mascot was a Brave. And so we formed this group called like the Brave Five, where we made our own little like outfits and stuff. And we convinced the cheer coach, Miss St. John, who is the teacher. And we're like, hey, so we formed this little group of like cheer
affiliate
guys, run around wearing capes and like, you know, doing like cartwheels and somersaults and stuff. And like, I was like, can we join the cheer squad? Because like they won't let you on the field unless you're either a football player or a cheerleader.
Yeah.
And so we're like, but see, we could get the crowd real hype. Like, so yeah, she like signed, we got to do it, and so like we weren't.
So we're like officially then.
We were part of the cheer squad, but we were like this like
Yell Kings.
Pep team.
That's cool,
sort of thing. Yeah,
you know, in Oregon,
we're like hype men.
Yeah, there were certainly no male cheerleaders when I was in high school, but. Apparently, it's become quite a thing. Like now, like Barlow High School in Oregon has had several male cheerleaders over
and the so
years.
Like I don't know if you remember high school football games, but when like the cheer squad like would march to the other side of the field and do a little cheer thing with their team, and then they would come over to our side or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so when the cheerleaders went to do their thing, we like jumped up on their little boxes and like were the cheerleaders during that time. So
it's kind of like fan fiction cheering.
It was super fun. Jumped on them cheer boxes.
You know what's good is that everyone's secure enough to like, yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Jump right on that box. Great.
Certainly at times and places where it's like, admit it.
I got called cheer queer at every school I went to. And I was like, well, I'm with 11 of the hottest girls in the school. So yes. If that's what I am.
You can call me whatever you want.
And I'm holding them up
set
by their boobies.
So you did have some like performance-y stuff going on. And so that way when you're like, well, I can't really play baseball, but there's this opportunity to be connected to baseball in this way that I can do.
Right.
Like that has to be like super bitching.
Yeah, it was pretty great. I was part of a group called the Northwest Youth Choir for a few years. And so that's when I was getting my acting chops and my singing chops. And that's where I really figured out that maybe there was something to offer there. So I was actually, you had to be out of the group by the time you were 21. And so I was like planning on packing my shit and moving to LA, and I was going to go give it my best shot.
Yeah.
And I was probably 2 months away from that. And that's when somebody sent me the audition notice for the Moose. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll go do that. But I was also the Fred Meyer Bear. You guys have Fred Meyers down here?
Mm-mm.
No, but yeah, it's Ralph's. It's kind of like Ralph's. Yeah,
it's a grocery store.
It's a grocery store, but it's also like a Target. Kind of like a Target
and a grocery store.
Yeah, like, so it's like the new Targets that have groceries.
Sure. So I was the mascot for them. And there's the Pacific Science Center. They had a beaver mascot, that was my first.
How did you get into mascoting?
Okay.
Like that's like a random.
Did you do any of the Ivers clams?
So you were two mascots before you became the Moose.
No, I was more than that. So I did.
Oh wow!
I was Bucky Beaver. Who was for the Science Center.
Alliteration.
And then the Fred Meyer Bear for Fred Meyer. And then the Weedle, which used to be, you know, you've heard of the Space Needle.
Yeah.
Okay, well, on the light is this big red flashing light, and there used to be a book called The Weedle on the Needle. Long, long story.
More Seattle, big red costume.
it was big, huge orange, but he was the mascot for the Sonics for probably 20 years.
That's why I was like, Weedle, I've heard of that.
Yeah, and then he was the mascot for Como TV, which was one of our news stations. So I ended up being the mascot doing that for about a year. And then I got probably 6 months.
So this is why you got the job.
Yeah. And so then
so it wasn't like, experience. Hey, I'm just going to go out for this. It's like you were a mascot.
Yeah.
I had zero experience, but I thought for sure I was going to word my stuff just right. That they were like, they couldn't pass on me.
Right.
So wait, this audition, audition that you told me about at the beginning of this recording was a letter you wrote? Yes. You said you auditioned.
If I did, that's not accurate because
I
know
if you did or not. I
wanted to be. Signed. I sent in. I answered the ad to try to be it, and I didn't get a call.
I never understood. I mean, I guess I kind of get it, but I never understood why like a performance job or like to be on a game show or any of these things. It's like, write us a letter and say why you should be here.
It's
like,
different now.
I need you to see what I got.
Right.
It's different. Once I'm in the room, I promise you'll want me.
Right.
But like, I can't write you a letter and be like, I love baseball.
Right.
I would be fun. Like,
it's different now. Yeah. It's different now.
Well, now you can just film yourself on a phone
and
send it to anywhere.
Yeah. Here's me doing this. Right. You know, so.
But yeah, no, I just think it's, did they even read any of them, or did they just like look at like people like Tiger over here
clearly,
who had experience?
But clearly he had, you know, experience, what I mean? Like, I guess enough to get read.
Because did you have to write a letter too, or did you just get to?
Well, I sent in my resume and
boom,
and
resume.
A letter.
There it is.
That's the thing that you were like.
See, you learn now. Next time.
Okay. You got to put it down like Tiger.
When the Padres get off, you know, opens
like
up.
That.
When the Padre opens
I
up.
I love the Padres.
Yeah.
Have you sent that song to the Kept Faith, by the way? You should send it to Dallas and have them like put it on their podcast. Like, for real.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because they played something I'd never heard of before on the like last
Padre song?
Episode ago. Yeah, it was some
weird. Was it Sean's song? Because, you know, we all.
I don't know. It was a weird song I'd never heard of
they
before.
They had this promotion.
It might have been.
Some years ago. Probably at least 10 years ago. At least 10 years ago. where they were like, we're looking for a new song for the Padres. And so it's a songwriting contest open up to local musicians. And so I wrote a song that...
it's good.
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
The ending just needs to be chopped off. That was like for... I know why it's there. You told me. Like for like filling in and talk you over.
Edit stuff in. But it was really fun. It was a fun contest. It was inspiring. And like my buddy Sean, who's had much more rock and roll success. I don't know if you've heard of the band Yellow Card. He was in the band Yellow Card for a little while. But
rock and roll.
Yeah, it was so fun. Everybody wrote these songs, and
they went with Gary Hoey, right?
They went with Gary, bitch ass Hoey. Padres, like it was like that's weak.
Gary Hoey's good though.
He's good. He's a good guitar player.
What song is that?
It's just a song that he wrote. It was mainly guitar solo.
Yeah, it's all
like,
guitar.
2 minute guitar solo that like I can't do, so I'm jealous of.
Right. But you should send them your song. Be like,
I will.
Yo,
I will.
You play this.
And I have friends who work. Lots of people who work for the Padres, too. I'm like, you know what? Use my thing. Yeah. I'm thinking, like, during warm-ups and during batting practice, just play it during batting practice.
Yeah,
like,
just
and we'll edit a little video together. It's only 2 minutes long because it had to be 2 minutes long. Yeah. And so
I'm going to go to opening
twice as much time as you usually need.
Yeah. Save some up for the next time. Yeah. We're at 45 seconds. There we go.
Oh, man.
Cool. Well, any other moose talk, or do you want to move on from
moose.
That? Because you did say that you were on X Factor. I'm kind of curious about that, too.
Dude, I've been almost famous probably 15 different times. I mean, so after I was the moose, I was in an R&B group in Seattle.
Boys to Men, really? I thought those were... Oh,
it was called Mystique, actually.
Q-U-E?
Q-U-E.
I love it.
And so we ended up, you know, we did the whole record deal thing, and we were down here for a while, and we got our...
What was the hit? Do you have a hit?
Didn't have a hit. Denver got released.
Oh, okay.
So we recorded the whole album. It took about a year and a half to get the entire album done, and then...
Did you do it up in Seattle?
We did it down here in Burbank. So.
Oh, in L.A.? Okay.
And then we had a big, huge record release party. And then we never heard from our producers again.
Was it very like 90s R&B? Yes. Like
so
Boys
they
to
were
Men,
laundering
like,
money.
All that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, we were sort of more like Jodeci. I don't
sure.
know
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, we were, I mean, it was pretty, there's still some stuff.
How many members in the group?
There's four of us.
Okay.
We had three white guys and one black dude. And we had Sam and Michael were kind of like the main singers, and then I would do all the harmonies when we were recording and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really great.
And was it so? It was R&B. It wasn't like boy bandy.
No,
like
it was
not
more
all
R&B.
Dancing
it
and
was
stuff.
R&B.
Yeah,
it was more
straight R&B.
It's more suits and ties instead of like R&B. Baggy pants and dance.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
More Johnny Gill than Bell Biv DeVoe.
Right. Okay, so that was after moosing.
Yeah. So we did that, and you know, and then. I was still waiting tables, and I ended up hosting karaoke, which, you know, that's where every good musician ends up going.
Right.
They end up hosting karaoke. And I still do to this day.
Just
so it's really
grinding cool. your teeth every time. You're like, son of a bitch.
I finally got to the point where I don't care.
Got to embrace it at some point.
I get to hear Don't Stop Believing for the 18 millionth time.
Yes,
we know Tommy and Gina are living on a prayer. Shut up.
Let's do the new song, the one where you do stop believing.
And they're always like, no. Play me the version. I want to play the real key. Like the actual. I can hit those notes. I can totally hit those notes.
You're like,
yeah,
okay.
Never.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a thing.
Yeah.
But so you know, I've been doing a lot of stuff, and I have a DJ company, and I MC events all over the country.
Nice.
Cool.
And I sing whenever I can, but you can't make a living being a singer, probably in any city. I mean,
is that true, BJ?
But Seattle.
Well, I certainly don't make a living. But,
well, yes,
I mean,
you do.
No, but that's the thing.
I have to tell you, we're getting evicted. I did. No, just kidding.
I was like, wait, what?
That is not funny.
No, but you know, I guess
they
if you consider,
roof?
You know, in a way, like kind of like on the boat, on the Spirit of Puget Sound, you know, it was nice to sing, you know, but we were waiting tables too, you know, so it was nice to like perform. For a living, and I still kind of considered that kind of performing for a living because anybody could wait tables,
right?
Not anybody, but
my buddy did that in New York. He was one of those like,
singing
waiter,
where
it's like, and now he's gonna. So if you're sitting at that table, it's like, well, I don't get service for the next whatever long, but like that's
exactly.
my guy, like singing a song.
No,
yeah,
and then generally they don't care, and then they throw money at you. It was great.
It's cool.
Like I loved that job so much, And then here, of course, for the last 17 years, part of my job has been singing, you know, singing at the Dolphin Show, which has been fun, you know, playing guitar and singing. Mm-hmm. But
being a singer for a band,
right?
In Seattle, right?
Right.
So
in the 90s.
Well, no, I mean, just now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for whenever.
In general.
I mean, you know, if you have four guys and you're going to play at the casino, which are the ones that pay you the most money.
Yeah.
And you're making, say, $2,000, which is huge money for a band. Okay, right. Mm-hmm. So you're making $400 a piece for a night. But then you have to tip out, or you have to pay the light guy and the sound guy and your 20% to the guy that booked you. So, I mean, maybe you're walking out of there with a couple $100. Or
yeah.
I can go to L.A. or New York and MC an event and make $2,500 by myself.
Right.
Or I can DJ a wedding Seattle. Yeah, and, you know. And so it got to the point where I was like, well, it's not responsible for me to try and keep my weekends open to sing for a band when – I can't make a living doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people are like, we got to do it for the love of the music. I'm like,
I gotta eat.
I need to eat food.
Yeah, I
like tacos.
I got a family.
Yeah, I got family. So,
yeah.
And, you know, luckily I make a good living, you know, DJing and MCing events. And then, like, in 2011, that's when X Factor came out and my buddy auditioned for it. He was like, hey, you got to come audition with me. And I was like, whatever. I mean, I guess. And so I ended up making it all the way to, like,
so
the,
what was the audition?
Air? Did you make it on air?
17. Yeah, I made it to, like, the final 17.
Nice.
So tell me what Tiger Budbill, Budbill. What was the audition like?
So
in Seattle,
the very first audition. So what? I don't know. If you
I'm curious if it's
it.
Like
so,
a massive, because I went to American Idol twice.
Yeah, it's
you
same
did.
Thing.
Yeah,
same. Thing.
I think you told me about that.
Same thing. So in the center of, like, your arena.
We did it at the stadium, yeah.
Yeah, there's 20 or 24 booths. You go in there, and you don't know who the schmo is in there. They could be one of, like, the executive producers,
yep.
Or it could be some person they hired off.
Literally, some random person.
You know,
yeah.
Craigslist or something, right?
If so, wait, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be anybody. You don't know who That's it funny. Is. So you have to be, like, your total, like, charming self. And, you know, and I went in there, and my wife auditioned right before me, and I could tell she was having a hard time with it. She was super nervous. And I go, right when I walked in, I go, hey, just so you know, that was my wife, but just because she didn't make it doesn't mean I can't make it. So,
nice.
So, and I sang Bob O'Reilly by The Who. You know?
Nice.
And then,
that's a good song choice.
Teenage Wasteland?
Yeah, Teenage Wasteland.
Out here. Yeah. That's a jam.
Yeah, so I did that, and then they go, what else you know? And I did...
You're like, what do you want to hear?
No, I did What's Going On by Marvin Gaye.
Nice.
So
nice.
Opposite. And so they sent me through, and I think it was mainly about personality, because how much can you tell, like, how great of a singer you are when
it's
there's
so
literally 24
awkward,
other
dude.
People
it's
around
It's the most
you.
Awkward
but
thing
still,
I've ever
I mean,
done.
Like, you could at least know.
Yeah, this guy can hit
They can sing.
Yeah.
They can sing.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can sing. And so, if they have that X right. factor, wah, wah, wah.
Hey! Drink. Yep. Anyway, so then the next day we had to go to another audition where they kind of interviewed you more, and they loved the fact that I was a mascot, and
right.
they loved the fact that I did this and that and the other thing, mm-hmm. and they, you know.
So you're it past first step, you know, so now my charm gets to come through.
One of the things that they loved about me, which you guys might find, since we're all guys sitting here, I once held the world record for, what?
Nothing, I'm excited. World record.
Yeah.
I'm already, go ahead. I'm just excited. Any kind of world
there.
Record, I'm like, excuse me?
I once held the world record for unhooking the most bras in 1 minute.
How does one...
Not what I was thinking. Like, I was like, what, long? Like, you held a note? You hit a note or something? Like, sang a song? You held
the loudest
a
burp? What?
Where does one go to prove this?
For some reason, like...
I imagine there's... I bet you there's a big old line of, like, mannequins, and you just...
No, it's all girls. They had
really?
To, yeah, they had to have... One hook or two hook bras. They had to be wearing T-shirts and they had to be sitting on bar stools.
And you just walked behind, snap, snap, snap.
Yeah, wow. I did it at a bar. If you look at my Facebook, there's actually a picture of my certificate and stuff on there.
That's
so dope.
Wonderful.
That's dope.
How'd you not know that?
I didn't know that. No,
anyway,
I didn't know that.
Anyway, so they loved that. They thought it was hilarious. They never used it on air because they didn't know who was going to
find
it. But anyway, so I made it to the next round, and I went in and sang, and I was kind of making fun of the guy's Australian accent that was the interviewer, and he thought that was funny. And then you know, you wait a couple weeks, and then they call you, and they go, okay, so we're going to have you audition. Maybe.
Right. Right.
What?
So I was an alternate.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I had to get there at about 10 o'clock in the morning. And then about 6 o'clock at night, they go, okay, yeah, you're for sure going to get to. Oh, and I was like, okay, great. And they go, but the song you wanted to do, we can't get clearance for it, which was Bublé's Cry Me a River. Right.
Mm.
And I was like, what the?
What but what else?
I go, what else? Because we had to give them a list of like.
Well, is
songs.
X Factor a cappella or no?
Not. They were up until that point.
Right. But the first quote on air one is going to be right. With music.
With
okay.
Music.
Perfect.
And so I was like, well, what the hell? So of my list of 10 songs, they said the only other one they could get approval for was Truly by Lionel Richie. Do you know that one?
Maybe.
How does it go?
Does not ring a bell.
Truly. Truly in love. With
yep.
You.
Yeah. Okay.
Something like that.
Huh.
And you can tell how great of a singer I am from that note. Anyway,
top 17.
Yeah,
okay.
Just saying.
Anyway, that's
legit.
I'm sitting there trying to learn the words because I didn't know the words.
Oh,
and then about 20 minutes before I go out, they go, "Hey, we got the approval for your song."
Thank God.
And I was like, "Oh God, thank God!" But they go, "You have to listen to this version," and It was. Like the slowest.
Yeah, somebody's slowest. Arrangement of it.
It was like, bro, bo, do, 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 do. So I'm like, well, crap. So I went out there.
Probably is what like set it apart, though.
Well, they talked to me for about 10 minutes before, and they knew that we were going through stuff because they were all about the story.
They being the producers or
producers,
PAs and stuff?
Yeah. And we were in the process of like losing our house and stuff because of the hit that we took in 2009.
Sure.
And, you know, and all that shit.
What happened then? So, oh, because of the, like a housing crisis?
Yeah.
Okay.
The housing crisis. And so, you know, they needed the story to go along with the voice. So that was a big part of it.
Yeah.
And so we ended up.
Tell us the most depressing thing about yourself.
Right.
Okay. Well.
Well, and they
and if you could start crying, that would be best. So
that's totally part of it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I wouldn't
produce it here.
So that actually came into play later in one of the other auditions.
Uh-huh.
They really wanted me to like break down. And
yeah.
Like,
but that's how they sell the people
right.
to the crowd.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I did.
I can do that.
I talked to them about 10 minutes. And they go, okay, we'll sing us a song, and then the music started, and it was horrible. So I made up this little skit in my mind, and I go, what's that, Paula? You think I'm going to take your side on this? Like, and I was like about Cry Me a River and stuff, you know, after what you did to him.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like looking at me like, what in the hell? And so I sang like the first two lines, and then Simon stopped it. And he goes, whoa, okay, we can tell you can sing, but this is not what you should be singing.
Right.
So can you sing something else for it? And by this time, massive dry mouth. Like it was brutal. And then so they go, just sing us a song a cappella. And what I figured out later is someone had told them that I was singing Truly in the bathroom like way back, and he wanted me to do that. But the song that popped into my head was What's Going On by Marvin Gaye.
Nice.
So if you look it up on like Google or whatever, it's not good. Like the comments that people made, they were right on.
What
like,
is this guy there?
Brutal.
Yeah, and so I ended up. So they ended up making. I went through, and then we went down to boot camp. You know, they try and show it, so it's like one long thing. Like this is all happening within 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
but it's like you do these auditions, and then you wait another month, and you go down and do this audition down there, and then. So when I was at boot camp, they would do stuff like the first night we were there, we all had to audition. And there was about 300 and some group or 300 and some acts.
Right.
And so they went through all of them, and then they cut probably 3/4 of them. And then they threw a party for us. They go, okay, you guys, everything's on us. So you guys party it up and we'll see you guys tomorrow. Right. And so I don't drink, luckily.
Right.
And, people just got
shit
housed.
Yeah.
Just beyond. And then they woke us up at 4 a.m. with air raid sirens and cameras in front of our faces and shit. And so I was like, I was like, what is going on? And I opened the door and I see him down the hallway. So I was like, uh-oh.
Time to get camera ready.
I shut my door, and about 2 seconds later, bam, bam, bam. And like, I go, good morning. And anyway, we had to get down there within a certain amount of time.
Oh my God.
Everyone's now voices tore up because they're all dry and dehydrated. And,
it was brutal. But then we had.
What a dirty trick.
Yeah.
You got to weed them out, man. You gotta weed them out. Wow. You can't have 300 people on a TV show.
Yeah.
And then one night they go, wow. It was like the third night we were there. We had made it through several auditions. And then they go, okay, so you guys have to pick a song from this list of songs. I was the last one to pick my song at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go, okay, by the way, you're the first one that gets to practice with the band. And I was like, okay. And then they made the announcement, oh, by the way, we have 3,000 people coming to Pasadena Center tomorrow to watch you guys perform these songs. So I practiced with the band at 6 a.m., and you can't sing at 6 a.m.
No.
I just go, this is the arrangement I want to do. I hope this is cool with you guys. Just know that I'm going to be a much better singer in a couple hours.
Yeah.
And then they made me wait until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon instead of doing it earlier.
Right.
Which probably worked for – but so I went out on stage, and I'm trying to learn the words to Billie Jean. It was a rock version of Billie Jean.
Yep.
And I'm like, they go, okay, ladies and gentlemen, Tiger Bedbill. And I throw the words behind me. And I go out on stage, and Simon goes, hey, Tiger, how's it going? I'm like, hey, Simon, you know, pretty good. And he goes, I've heard you had a pretty rough week. And I go, well, yeah, I mean, this is hard, you know, air raid sirens, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, no, I'm talking about what happened in your family. And I was like,
what? Cute, turn on the waterworks, Tiger.
Right, right. And I go, well, are you talking about that I had to bury my brother last Friday? And he was like, yeah. And I go, well, yes, that is a fact. However, these people out here in the audience didn't come to listen to that. They came to listen to us sing. So I would really like to just sing right now.
Yeah.
And the whole crowd was like, rah, you know, because I wasn't playing that card. Right. I was just like,
yeah.
And so.
That's dope.
I'm doing this for, yeah.
Mad respect.
Exactly. Yeah. And so mad I just respect. Sang the song. And, you know, the stuff that they don't show on TV is the stuff that hurts the most. Because they were just like, holy shit. Like, they're like, oh, my God, we got to get him on a record. Like, it's all the background stuff,
right?
You know, mm-hmm. That they're saying that I can hear. Everybody can hear. But when they cut it together, they don't show any of it.
That was good.
Yeah,
right.
Pretty much. Yeah.
That's nice.
Know?
Very
and
nice.
So, you know.
So, it's Simon, Paula Abdul. Who else?
Nicole Scherzinger and L.A. Reid at that point.
L.L. Babyface. Is that Babyface Reid? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think Nicole was at. Oh, yeah. Nicole was there for the first one. Yeah.
She I'm not as familiar with.
She's the lead singer of the Pussycat Dolls.
And okay. Which I missed else. That whole boat. She was in another. Oh, what was her other thing in the 90s? Oh, man.
Girl Zone.
Something like that. No, it was literally something like that.
I certainly heard the name
of it. It was like a girl group in the 90s.
But I don't think I put it together that it was Simon at that time. Like,
yeah, it was
Simon. That was like after he left. Yeah, he left that and he started his new show.
Right.
And now he's on a third or fourth show now.
Well, he's tons. I mean, he produces everything.
Yep.
You know, except for The Voice.
So what was he like?
Well, everybody thinks he's a total jackass, but
he seems like
he
it.
And I.
Well, let's see what he plays.
Really, it's a character,
right? For sure.
That's what he plays.
Exactly. He was a really nice guy, and actually, one of the moments that I remember that they didn't show was when I finally made it to the final step. He said this. He was announcing all the different winners, or the people that were moving on. So there were 16 of us left, and I was one of the final 8 in my division.
Nice.
He goes, this next person. Wasn't even on our radar when we started, but he has proven himself over and over and over again, and he has more character than anyone I've ever seen in any of these shows.
Woo!
And he goes, I am proud and honored to say Tiger, you know? And so, I'm getting a little...
That's good, man. That's good. That's the way it ought to be.
I'm getting a little misty.
That's the way it ought to be.
And then, so I kind of broke down on stage, which all you see on, if you see the clips, is goes, the next person is...
Tiger.
And then you see
him. Oh,
and they're
fiction.
Like, forgive him. He had a death in the family.
They nicknamed me Kriger because every time they interviewed me, they wouldn't show like what was leading up to it. They would just show me like crying.
The tears
are
what people want to see that though.
Yeah.
People want to see that
and
hear that.
Kriger.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Wow.
And so, but then, you know, made it to the final round. And, you know, it's funny because I sang when you see the final, like, edits of what they did. You know, they still showed some of me kicking ass on some songs. And,
mm-hmm.
and I am by no means God's gift to singing, by any means. But at that particular, like, 6 months of my life, my voice was in tip-top
primo.
Shape,
yeah.
And so when I got kicked off, none of us had seen each other sing.
Right.
Up to that point. Huh. So when I got kicked off, I was like, well, these suckers must be fucking killing it right now. Because I was like, So then the 6 weeks went by, and then we started watching on TV, and I had these like watching parties because this was going to be so cool. Yeah, and everything.
How long after the taping to when you aired?
About 6 weeks.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah. So I'm sitting there with
and Sam. You couldn't talk about it?
No. And we had to pull our Facebook, and the Instagram wasn't really a thing yet.
Right.
But, you know, So nobody really knew except my family that I wasn't on anymore. But we had these watching parties at a bar that I was working at. And so Shannon and I are sitting there watching, and like we're like, what the fuck is going on?
They're not that good.
They're like, it was brutal. Like, So I always tell people, I'm getting to the end of the story, sorry. But, you know, I always tell people that if I would have known that it was a game show instead of a competition, I would have played it a lot differently.
Right.
Yeah.
And I probably would have gotten a lot.
You would have cried whenever they cued you to.
Yeah. Pretty much.
My name's Tiger. They call me Crier. I'm very emotional.
I'm just so in touch with my feelings right now.
You like a little like zoom in with a little like bing.
Yeah. Yeah, but they had like, so my whole story was we were losing our house and my brother had just died, but it was kind of expected, so it wasn't really traumatic for
right.
me. And then, but like, the one guy that made it, he was living in his car. He used to sing for – he was a black dude that used to sing for a rock band in the 80s.
That shit
and
so
then
much.
One guy, Josh, who made it to this – he was like second place, who became a buddy of mine. But they said he's the taco maker, right? But the only taco he ever made was they came to film him in his buddy's restaurant making a taco.
I don't really work here, but anyway,
just
here you go.
To be making a taco right now.
Yeah, exactly. And wow. So, wow. You know, and
I
it was all about the.
So it's heavily produced and like heavily kind of directed.
Yeah.
Everything, yeah. And they sit there. They hammer you for like 6 hours a day. So if you look, if you ever see it, the final scene, like my face is totally burnt to hell because.
Now, what's the final one? Is that poolside one? Is that the one that you can find when you look? That's the one that you find right away.
Right, that's the poolside one.
We're looking
one.
At it right now.
And but my face is beat red, not because I was like freaking out, but they've been interviewing us for like 6 hours during the day, like different producers asking pretty much the same questions so they could like cut stuff together.
Yeah,
and you need to take this seriously. I'm like, why? This is supposed to be fun. Well, what if you had to call your wife nut right now and tell her you didn't make it? I was like, oh God, that was really sucked. And then they would show me crying, of course.
But, you're Krieger.
Yeah, exactly.
That's your character. You're not a person.
Yeah.
He barely took a time from stopping to make tacos so he could cry.
Right.
So,
exactly. So anyway, I mean, there's just a lot of, it was very difficult and I was fine right before. And then for about 3 weeks afterward, like I've never been someone that got depressed. Mm-hmm. I've never been that guy. But I was like, what could I have done different? If I could have a conversation with Simon, if I need to talk to the lawyers, you know? And then none of the people that I made friends with that were still on the show, they weren't allowed to talk to us.
Right.
So I was like, dude, Josh, what the hell's going on, man? I can't believe, you know, are you watching this? Blah, blah, blah. And they weren't allowed to talk to us. And so it was a very, like, full in your face 4 months. And then all of a sudden it was just like a
gone.
Black hole. Like, there was nothing. So then I wrote. A buddy of mine helped me write a song called I'm Holding On, and it was all about basically that, but the fact that we had lost our cars and our house, and like we're just everybody's barely hanging on. And so that kind of got me out of my like funk. And then I was like, all right, screw it, I'm gonna go record my album. Well, here we are 8 years later, and I have 4 songs done.
It's more than most people.
Yeah, life happens when you're making plans.
Dude, that's great.
But still, that's awesome.
Yeah, because I've like thought like, man, I should just make an album is what I've thought that like many a times. Like, I should just make an album. Just whatever it is, just make an album.
You have a computer and a microphone?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Dude, we already got the first
song. My name is Jared, okay? Sorry.
He's good at making sandwiches.
Wait, are you
Weezer?
The computer
that's
or the microphone?
No, both.
that's Weezer. Is that right?
What?
My name is Jared? No?
Jonas? I was making a joke that I would be doing all the work for you is what my joke was.
That's where we were.
Oh, I thought you were like
on this side of the table.
I thought you were referencing that place. Like, I thought you were referencing a song.
No.
My name is Jonas. That's a Weezer song.
That is a Weezer song.
It is. But,
that is song number one on the Blue album.
Right on. So, dude, that's cool stuff. Yeah, that's cool stuff.
That's a dope story.
Yeah.
Word.
I'm sorry it didn't work out for you.
And it's cool. And I never really got to hear any of that.
Yeah, there we go.
And also, I've never
that specific.
I was under the impression that you won. Could you leave my garage?
It was billed to me as X Factor winner.
Yeah.
Tiger Bundle.
Believe me, I got the biggest participant trophy. You
could ever. Frame that. Here it is.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Oh, man.
Nice.
So, yeah, man. That's awesome. Because I like there are lots of things. Like for me, it's funny because I'm somebody who was super jealous of you. You know, although you didn't know it, and I didn't know you at the time. And so for me, it's kind of cool that I got to know you at some point and become your friend. You know, yeah. We were kind of friends of friends sort of thing. But we agree on a lot of shit.
Yeah, that's actually how we became better friends, is because our outlook on politics and, like, you know, all that stuff. But if it makes you feel any better, I really am jealous of your complexion. So
right on. Well, some of us are out of there.
You're very tan.
He did just get back from vacation.
You're very tan. Yeah. Just get back.
I'm surprised that she didn't say, well, I'm half black. You know, that's what I'm surprised she didn't say. You know, my dad's Quincy Jones, right? You know, I'm half black.
She probably just didn't want to play that card.
I think it was even better that she said, I am ethnic.
I think that's the best answer you can give.
Uh-huh.
It makes the other person look really stupid.
Yeah, interesting.
Well, I am ethnic.
Nice.
It's tough. That's tough because you want, like, I don't think that there's any, like, bad intentions in the person who's asking.
Probably
you, so.
Not.
So, yeah. Do you have to leave?
Probably.
It's 8:34.
Pretty soon.
You know, whatever.
You got a thing.
Because I thought you had a thing.
There's
see a
thing.
Guy
I do
a
sort of have a thing.
So we can cut it right.
See a man about a horse?
Fine.
Is Shannon messaged as far as, like,
she's waiting in the car.
Oh,
like,
she's here.
Like a good wife should be. You're welcome, Shannon.
Yeah.
Love you.
Ooh. And that's so funny because not one sandwich on this whole table.
Yeah. I know, right?
Not a single sandwich. I bet she's wearing shoes, too. And isn't even pregnant.
Why'd you have to bring that up?
How dare you?
Oh, right. Sore spot.
Nah, she's my best. She's my best. She actually just texted me. She said, hey, I'm out in the car. I don't want the dogs to bark.
Nice.
See? So.
Dude, she is good.
Thoughtful.
Yeah, she's money.
She's great.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I don't want to keep you any longer. I was going to talk to you about what you watch and stuff, but I know you got stuff to do, so
do
get out of my garage, not winner.
Hey.
That should be like a drop.
Get out of my garage!
And you're done.
You're out of here. But, thanks for coming, dude.
Well, yeah, I appreciate
thanks,
you guys
man.
Having me. This is fun.
Oh, yeah, man, and it was good. This is like a passion project for me, you know, that they kind of went with.
Cool.
So like Tiger's in town. It would be fun to come talk to him and talk to him about being on the Moose and being on X Factor. I think that's going to be fascinating and fun to listen to.
And it was.
And it absolutely was. Cool. It absolutely was. It was great.
Man, I have tons of great stories about the players and stuff. If we ever want to do this,
I do want to do that. And next
amazing.
Time you come up, come down.
Baseball.
Because we could spend 3 hours talking about Griffey.
Right, right.
And So let me tell you real fast that back in the day, probably about the time that you were doing things and hanging out with him, and he was actually going out in public, I went to go see the movie Total Recall at
Meridian, Pacific Place.
No,
Cinerama.
Okay. No, across the 90, across Mercer Island in Factoria. In Factoria, there used to be a movie theater there. And we went to go see, and I believe it was like the late night or midnight showing of Total Recall.
Sure.
And Griffey and Harold Reynolds were there, and just there. And I was like, and I was there with this little kid who I used to babysit and take to Mariner games, and we were like, dude, Griffey Jr. is right there, and that's Harold Reynolds. It was so cool.
Did you say hi?
I talked to Harold Reynolds. I didn't talk to Griffey.
Harold's a great guy.
He was very
He's
nice.
A great guy.
He was very friendly, and he was real nice. But I didn't talk to Griffey. And but man, I at this point especially, because I spent so many years watching him and just like as a fan, just admiring the unbelievable once in a generational
griffiness
talent and skill of playing this game that I loved and wanted to play as a kid, that like it was magic. And so anyone who's like close to that and had something to do with kind of a very magical time in Seattle, was baseball in Seattle in the early to mid 90s when it was coming into its own, it was a magic time, and so I'm still really jealous of that.
Cool. Saying
so
magical.
You know what, what's cool about Ken Griffey Jr. is that you know, we're the same age, mm-hmm. and I take solace into the fact that he's a fat old guy now too.
These things happen.
Like, oh, that's what happens when you get old.
These things happen.
Like, oh, yeah. I don't feel horrible. He's right. He's a fat guy.
When your job isn't working out and playing baseball every day. Got
exactly.
it.
Got it. What do? We do what we do. We play video games and we eat and we hang out. We sit on the couch.
I love eating and playing video games.
Isn't it the best? You're going to be so fat one day.
Someday.
He's not.
He's like, I try.
It's not going to happen.
I don't have that gene. I'm trying very hard.
All of us are like, fuck you, man. You're never going to.
Cottage cheese at midnight. There you go.
Nice.
I was eating brownies straight out of the pan with a fork before I got here. And I'm going to do it again when I get home.
You bastard. Why are you cruel like that?
Because it's so good.
Excellent.
Well, cool. Listen, you guys, it was really awesome meeting you guys. Yeah. I have a
thank you for my buddy
Andy Mauser is playing down tonight at Barley Mash.
Barley Mash. Oh. Ginger's butt down below.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. I told him that I would come down and see him. That's why I'm cutting out.
No,
so
do
I apologize.
No, do what you got to do. Yeah.
But really awesome meeting you guys, talking with you. And I will tell you, I'm going to admit something to you.
Ooh.
When I listen to this podcast,
yeah. Uh-huh.
It will be the very first podcast I've ever listened to.
Look at that. Yeah. We're expanding. We're expanding our reach. Yeah. That's one extra listen. That's one extra click.
How do I, narcissistic asshole. You couldn't listen to your buddy's podcast before you're a guest.
Or anybody's.
I didn't know it was a thing.
Do you know who Joe Rogan is?
I know him from Fear Factor.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
kidding. Yeah.
The other factor.
So since I don't know, can you remind us where I can listen to you?
We're available wherever podcasts are found on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Store, Spotify, Stitcher, Podomatic,
I'll send you a link.
Yeah,
I go to Podomatic.
But
sure.
Where do you have an Android phone? Or?
Yeah, if I go to Google Play, do I just say podcast?
Life's a Binge.
Yeah, you can look and try to find an app like Stitcher.
Oh, okay.
And then Stitcher will
Google
allow you
Play
to listen to all kinds of stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dope.
Cool. Stitcher's my preferred.
You can find us on all wherever podcasts are found at Life's a Binge.
Yeah.
But if you have Spotify, no? Yes,
I don't
use
it.
No.
It's all good.
But you can find us there too. Because we're cool.
We're everywhere.
Yeah, literally everywhere. So just search it and you can find it. Cool. But thanks for coming. Do you have your own personal Twitter or Instagram or something you want people to follow?
Plug.
You know, Twitter. No, I don't. No,
good. We don't want to follow you anyway.
You know what it is? You can follow me on Twitter. It's at Tiger Budbill. But like,
you don't.
There
don't the only time
that's
I.
That's like us. Follow us on Twitter. We don't post.
Yeah, it's kind of like Facebook. Like, you used to try and like make your life sound as cool as it could fucking be. And then as I've gotten older, I'm just like,
meh.
My life's not that cool.
Right.
So, I mean, I do some cool stuff, but I just.
You're like, here's a post. Guess what that means? Taking a dump.
Exactly. I mean,
magnificent dump.
Right.
Right. Anyway, well, thanks for coming down. Thanks for chatting and enjoy your show tonight.
Thanks, man.
But get out of my garage.
I'm out.
This has been Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
I'm Rich.
And I'm Tiger.
We'll see you on the couch.
Yeah. Life's a Binge. Bow, 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 bow. Ow, wow.
Right?
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Be sure and leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever else you find the show. You can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. Join the phone army by dialing 619-438-0532. And if all else fails, check out our website at lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll see you on the couch.
What could I do? Okay, all right.